Hey guys, welcome to Hear Our Two Cents. My name is Allie. I'm one of your co-hosts today. Cammy is on vacation, but I did bring our resident expert for today's topic, which is about The Umbrella Academy. We are talking about the number one show on Netflix right now.
Hey, it's good to be back. So I don't know about expert, honestly. I would say more certified fangirl. Anyways, speaking of number one on Netflix, in its first 5 days of being released, The Umbrella Academy Season 3 was watched for 124.5 million hours, which is just crazy to think about.
Million hours. That's insane.
Maybe somebody was watching it on loop, but hey, that counts. Hey guys, just a quick disclaimer. We do understand that there is a very pivotal moment in Season 3. In which Vanya becomes Victor. However, for the sake of this episode, and because that transition hasn't happened yet, we will be referring to Vanya as Vanya.
Hey, so what stood out to you about Season 3, Episode 1? Because that's what we're talking about today. Season 3, Episode 1. So what stood out to you?
For anybody who is listening in who hasn't watched Season 3 yet, it begins in an alternate timeline in which the Sparrows dictate the world and they're the superhero face and superhero team that you kind of see. And the Umbrella Academy literally just jumps right in. Spoiler alert, Reggie is still a jerk, so there's that. What I liked about Season 3, Episode 1, which is called Meet the Family, by the way, the intro feels like a throwback to Season 1, Episode 1, which we did an episode about, actually, if you look back at our playlist.
Just to jump off of what you're saying, it definitely felt like a throwback when I was watching it. Well, the first thought was, oh, yay, it's in Seoul, Korea.
Yes, you know? I thought of you. I was like, why weren't you on that train, Allie?
I know. And then, like, watching that train scene, I'm like, no lie, the train really will be that quiet sometimes.
But I was like, is that really accurate, though? Because are teenagers really openly kissing on the train? I don't think so.
I have yet to see teenagers openly kiss, maybe like holding hands or like the arm over the shoulder thing. But it is really that quiet on the train. There's not much noise going on. But that throwback to, okay, they're on a train and then two people kiss and all of a sudden she's pregnant. It gave me immediate flashbacks to Season 1 when the girl jumps into the pool and then she becomes pregnant. And I was like, oh, this is how they're doing it. In my head, I'm like, okay, they're in Korea, Korean. The only person is Ben. So that means Ben's coming back. Mind you guys, I did not read the comics. And I know you told me when we were talking about this off air was that this doesn't even happen in the comic books. So no. I was going in fresh of just like, oh, this has to be Ben. This is how he comes back because, like, he sacrificed himself in Season 2. So it's like, this has to be how he comes back.
Speaking of my boy, Ben, let me just declare once and for all, hashtag not my Ben. He's so mean. And I don't know what to think because he used to be a little cinnamon roll back in the day. And now he's this little brat. And I don't know how to process this information.
Yeah, no, but I like that he's getting a little more screen time. He probably, as an actor, is enjoying being this dynamic of like, all right, I'm going to be the bad guy for a little bit.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure they all have fun with everything.
So now that you are seeing the difference between Sparrow Academy Ben and Umbrella Academy Ben, what are some other differences you see compared to the brothers and the siblings from the Umbrella Academy and the siblings from the Sparrow Academy? What, for those who don't know, what are the Sparrow Academy siblings like?
Oh man, where do I start? So if you're just basing this off of what you see in Episode 1, I can immediately just kind of pick up that there are similarities and there are differences. Now, with the Umbrella Academy, when you first go back to Season 1, Episode 1, you can definitely kind of detect that some siblings are closer than others are. Some have kind of a grudge against the other for whatever reason, some butt heads, but then you see that some have this connection and it's a little bit wholesome and it's nice and comforting. Now with the Sparrows, I don't really see that at all, which is a little off-putting. You can definitely tell that they care about each other and they have a connection. They're siblings, obviously, but it kind of feels more of like a relationship that is always in front of a camera. That's the best way I can put it, really.
The Sparrows are like, to me, the junior version of, you know, in The Boys with the heroes from there with Homelander and stuff. They're like the junior kid version of that, in the sense of like what you see on the surface is not what you're actually getting from them, right?
Mm-hmm. Like very commercial.
They're very trying to be commercial, like, I'm great. I am a hero. Look at me. I mean, the first scene you see with Marcus, who's there number one, he's exercising, throwing his towels to all the screaming fans down below on the, because he's like above on a building on the rooftop, just exercising, doing handstands. And then he throws a sweaty towel into the crowd. They're all like screaming like he's an idol. So you could see right off the bat, okay, these people are beloved by the folks. Their reputation, their appearances do matter to them, in the sense of how they appear to the people, to the citizens of that city. They very much are focused on appearances in the Sparrow Academy, where they seem like in the first episode, what I got, they seem like a well-oiled machine, in that sense of like the exercise together, they count their calories. They, mm-hmm. you know, like that's what I'm getting more of, like they are a machine instead of a like sibling team. Like they have that, those small moments where you're like, oh, that's sibling like, but it's not as much as the Umbrella Academy for me. I feel like the Umbrella Academy is that dysfunctional family, but they're like the Bad News Bears. They're the underdog that you keep rooting for, but like they only get into it into their own way.
So in other words, the Sparrow Academy is the Instagram family and the Umbrella Academy is the Facebook family.
Is Facebook
is that a good analogy?
Maybe like MySpace.
Okay, I like that better, actually.
But what team would you join if you had to pick, the Umbrella Academy or the Sparrow Academy?
Look, you already know what I'm gonna say. We've spent more time with the Umbrellas. We've seen them grow. The Sparrows kind of have a disadvantage in that sense, where we're literally just thrown in and getting a very small glimpse and a very superficial glimpse at that, at them. So obviously I'm going to pick the Umbrellas. I mean, I'm sure that we would get along. Maybe. I don't know. What about you?
I would have to pick the Umbrella Academy as well. Just for, not necessarily for like, the portrayal of both of them. I feel like with the Umbrella Academy, I would have more freedom to do what I want, because you notice how like they'll go off and do whatever and then they'll come back together at points, like that freedom. It seems like with the Sparrow Academy, it's very much so like we work out together, we live together, we do this together, we have to be the face of this team, and there's that expectation put on that. So I would rather be with the Umbrella Academy. Yes, we would be dysfunctional, right? But to see their growth, I mean, when they came back to help Vanya in season two at the last episode, that showed major growth with how their relationship was, because even she was surprised and expecting to be just left on her own, handling this by herself. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Klaus comes in, which I called it. I knew Klaus was going to be the first one to join. And then I was like, well, after Klaus, it has to be Allison. And then Allison and Diego both come in. And so did Five. He was actually the second person. Or the third person. No, fourth. He was the fourth person. And then you have Luther coming in at the end, you know. And you look back from season one, they hated Vanya. They just blamed Vanya for every problem.
She was the punching bag.
Yeah, they never would have united like that. And then this time around, you saw like, oh, there's been growth from season one to season two, like to now. And she even said like, hey, at first I would do this all alone, but now I don't want to do it alone. I want to do it with my family. And that was huge for Vanya, right? Because she now went past the whole resentment phase and the anger phase. And she is basically at the forgiveness phase. I mean,
yeah,
that's huge growth for her.
And also realizing that her family is on her side, because for most of her life, if not all of her life, she was isolated from everyone else. She was the one that everyone could point the finger to or put the blame on. It was the family dynamic. That's just how it was. And now that they're broken from that, they can actually appreciate Vanya.
So now that we've seen both the Umbrella Academy and the Sparrow Academy in action, first with that scene with the dancing scene.
Can we talk about that dance scene, though?
I was like, okay, they're going to fight. And all of a sudden, it was just some Footloose dance scene. And I was like, wait, what?
That threw me off guard. But I was like, I am here for it. They getting it. I love it. And then, he's hallucinating the whole time.
Yeah. And then you could tell the people who were, they were told probably an instruction, like, when they're directing the scene, like, all right, just do what you want. Because you have, like, Vanya doing some funky, like, her hand is on her forehead while she's dancing up and down. And I'm like, girl, what are you doing?
And then Luther's doing his little crab, whatever that thing is.
And you're just like, who gave this direction? But no. Yeah, and as soon as she spit out, like, that black venom towards Diego, I was like, they're going to go on a trip. That was my first instinct. I was like, it has to be a trip. Because if his skin's not, like, reacting to it, it's not, like, all of a sudden burning, then it had to be something mental that was going to be affected. And as soon as he went on that, like, dance journey, I was like, oh, crap. So every time she spits venom at people, they hallucinate and go into this whole
right.
mental. And then I didn't realize that she could actually see what they see. Or, like, at least what they're doing. Because when Five got hit with it, she saw him, like, making out with the fake doll.
I think that she wasn't there. More, I don't know if she actually saw it. I think she was just more, not shocked, but she was just in awe of what he thought he was doing. Because I looked more into Jamie's power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we already established that they basically go on a trip or they get their mind out of the fight, basically, so that she has the advantage. So whatever type of vision or hallucination that they come up with, they're more focused on that at the end of the day.
So speaking of powers, whose power would you have from the Umbrella Academy? I remember when we did our discussion on season 1, episode 1, I think you picked Klaus, and then you said Allison was a close second. So now that we've watched this from season 1 now to season 3, has it changed for you?
You know something? I don't think it has, but I do want to erase my choice for Allison. I would definitely want to have Klaus's powers, especially considering the fact that he just keeps getting stronger and more capable now that he is sober and fully in the game. What about you? I know that you picked 5 before.
Watching, you know, the season 3, episode 1, I remember my comment from when I talked about Diego and just being like, he's like Nightwing. And finally seeing that, oh, he basically can deflect things, like have an invisible shield that objects are coming at him and then he can kind of stop them and then tell him where to go.
Yeah, whatever happened to that when they were fighting?
And I'm like, oh, you have this ability. Did I forget about this?
Just didn't utilize it. or they erased it from him.
I just was like, bro, you had this whole time. Like, why are you always throwing knives?
Right.
But I still, from Umbrella Academy, I still think I would pick 5. His ability to just go backwards in time would be interesting just to see. But I realized there's so much complications with his gift, right? Like, you could really change a whole lot as we see them going back and forth between timelines. But my number 2 would now be Diego, actually, instead of, I think I said Allison last time.
Yeah.
Or I think I said Klaus is like my number 2. But I think I would just still stick with number 5 when it comes to his powers.
You know, I don't know who number 2 would be for me now. I mean, I don't really like Lila's character, but I actually enjoy the fact that she's basically a human Uno reverse card.
Oh, that is true too. Yeah.
She'd be pretty fun.
She basically copies. She's a mimic. She copies mm-hmm. everyone's powers. So, I mean, it'd be cool if you get someone that has a cool power, but then if it's someone lame, it's like, ah. So whose powers would you have from the Sparrow Academy?
I don't even have to think much about it. I think Chris is really cool. I don't understand why I'm so gravitated towards this sentient cube, but he's just cool. We don't really get an explanation of what he's capable of, but I can very well tell just by watching this episode that he can easily beat all of them combined. I just know it. What about you?
Well, I would say Marcus, his seems to be like the basic strength from what I saw in this first episode, right? But that other girl, that one that ran into Luther, I don't know. I don't remember which number she is. Sloan. Is she 7?
She's 5.
She's 5?
I believe so.
What's her abilities?
So she can manipulate gravity. And I think that she would be 2 for me because that's a pretty cool power. She can lift things and lift herself up.
Oh, yeah, because she went head-to-head with Vanya, right? From the Sparrow Academy, I changed my answer from Marcus. I probably would pick her. I wouldn't want to be the girl that has the birds. It's like Daredevil, basically, in that sense. Like, she uses the birds to see.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't really want hers. I wouldn't want Ben's. I wouldn't want the guy that, basically, if you punch him, you feel the amount of power dedicated to you. Wouldn't want to be him. So, yeah, I think I would go with her, actually, from Sparrow. That would just be kind of cool. And the fact that she can kind of have her own with against Vanya and use her power against her because she's controlling like where she explodes from, I think that'd be a cool power to have. Hey guys, welcome back. Sorry for that technical difficulty. We are back again. So Hannah, let's discuss what Umbrella Academy character developments are you impressed with or that you enjoyed visually seeing from season 1 to season 3.
One character that really stood out to me obviously would be Vanya.
What about Vanya's character have you enjoyed? Because I actually have appreciation for the character development too.
For Vanya and even Luther too, they can both kind of be very similar in regards to this, where in previous seasons, they were isolated. Of course, Luther was literally on the moon and Vanya was just cast aside from all the other siblings and told that she was not special. So they both had this sense of wanting to please everybody and wanting to be essentially like in servitude in different ways, obviously. But in season 3, you can really sense that they're coming to their own. They're becoming aware of their own feelings and aware of their own autonomy and things like that. And I really appreciate that. They get their own voice. They get their little screen time. They get their moments and everything. And I like what I see because I will tell you one thing. Luther's character was not that great in season 2. And I'm hoping that other people saw it that way because he was quite a jerk in a lot of moments. They really turned him around and made him the 1 that he should have been.
So for me, the 2 characters that I enjoyed their growth from season 1 to season 3 is Vanya and Diego, actually. So with Vanya, I love that in this episode 1, she had confidence, man. I love that she had confidence, that she was stepping up and not letting the fact that she's 7 dictate how she acts and how she behaves. So she was making it a point to meet with Marcus, right? Towards the end of that episode, she was meeting with Marcus, trying to protect her family and just make a deal with him and telling him like, hey, you're strong, cool, but you're not stronger than me. And for her to make that statement, it's like, okay, she's now knowing her worth. She now is like, no, I'm a strong person. I can get this done and I can step it up if need be. I appreciate that growth, that she's had more confidence. And then with Diego, with him getting that bombshell, spoiler alert, of him being a father, I think it would actually be good for him because I think Diego is a lot more sensitive than he lets on. But I think his kid will be difficult because he'll be like him, like how he was when he was a child. Diego as a dad is actually a really good thing for his character development. I hope that this is actually his child and it's not like, psych, you were the last person I've been with, so I thought this was your kid, you know. Sorry about that again, guys. We had a small disconnection there. Did you hear me when I was talking about Vanya and Diego?
I was saying, Diego needs to take Lila to Maury so they can confirm whether or not he's the father.
Yeah, I did not hear you on that one. But yeah, I know.
For real. I was like, this boy came out 12 years old, first of all.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, he's been with me for 12 years. Here you go. Like, girl.
She's trifling all the time.
And, you know, she had the capability to come back at any point, probably. Mm-hmm. But it probably took some moments to actually find what timeline he was in. But, no, I was just laughing when I saw that because his face was just like, wait, what?
Can we also just mention who, if I was Diego, I'd be like, who's this white kid? Who's this little white boy? This ain't mine? All right.
That is true. So I'm excited to see where it goes from here and how the family reacts to that. Because technically now they have a nephew. Are they going to be welcoming? Are they going to be like, this ain't our nephew, like we don't know him? Like, how are they going to respond to this news? And does he have powers? Does he have capabilities? Because both of them have gifts. And if they produced a child, does that child have gifts now? Or is that child a normal child?
That's true. I mean, Allison had Claire, and they only showed her for what, like a whole of 2 minutes. And so they never really explained that either. So,
but then she had her with someone that was without gifts. So I wonder if it's like a toss up if that's the case. But now that two people with gifts are together, I wonder. And then like who's extending
the lore?
Yeah, I wonder whose gifts. Does this kid inherit it? You know, does he get his mom's gift or his dad's gift? Does he get a combination of both? Or does he get option C, which is he gets like a completely different gift that has nothing to do with his parents? So this will be interesting to see for sure.
Yeah, I would love to see them dip into that because anything's possible in this universe, as you can see.
Mm. So how did you feel about the ending of episode 1? And what do you think will happen in episode 2? Now, I know you've already seen the rest of the season, but when you first initially watched, what did you think was going to happen next?
First of all, why they got to do my boy Marcus like that?
He got Thanos'd.
Episode 1. And I was over here, even though he was a bit of a jerk and he was pompous and everything, I was still enjoying his dynamic and how he did have that obsession with control. And that would have been interesting to continue to draw on. And even with his little butting heads with Ben and everything, that I'm number one. No, I'm number one. So they just zooted him. So I'm like, all right, that's cool, I guess. And I was upset about that. But other than that, I was just wondering, is he going to come back? I don't know. Is this going to happen to everyone else? Is this... I just called it the donut in the basement. And you might laugh, but it literally looks like a little donut. It's got a little hole in the middle and everything. So that's what I referred it to. I'm like, is this donut going to get bigger? Is it going to consume the world? Is it going to start to move? Is it going to start to talk? You know, anything, like we said before, anything is possible in this universe. So if this donut just grew arms and legs and started singing, I would not be surprised, honestly.
I think that red firing ball that you're talking about, that you call a donut, I honestly think that's more, it's more closer to a cult than Klaus's cult. Like, that thing was scary.
Yeah.
The mom was like writing a different whole language down while like having these like worship eyes towards this inanimate thing. Like, well, we don't know. It could be an actual, but it's just like, she's just looking at this thing and like in awe of it and saying like, do you hear the voices? Do you hear it? It's amazing. And I'm like, girl, you're crazy. Like, Marcus, even when he first came in, was like, this doesn't seem right. You should listen to your, like, BS meter and just be like, you know what? I'm just going to exit. Like, he could have looked for the suitcase, the briefcase, and just been like, I don't see it in my vision. All right, looks like it's time for me to go. But no, he stepped closer and closer. So how I felt about it, I was actually like you. I felt very excited. That I thought, like, okay, it's going to be interesting to see how Marcus and Vanya and Marcus and Ben, how they all interact, how Marcus is, as this leader, is going to interact with Luther and just see how this goes. And then when he killed him off, I'm like, or not. But in my head, I'm like, well, he might come back. That's
right.
I think like, oh, just like I still don't believe the handler's actually dead. I think she's going to come back. Season 3, episode 7, and just pop up like, hi guys. And I'll be like, I knew it. But when I was watching it, the one thing I thought was going to happen of how they said they wanted to use tactics to separate the Umbrella Academy, knowing that their weaknesses is loyalty, right? One of the things I thought was going to happen was that I think Vanya will join the Sparrow Academy. That was one of my predictions. Not saying like the next episode, but just in general, I thought Vanya was going to join the Sparrow Academy and lead the Umbrella Academy. So I thought, okay, because then she could, I thought, who's the weakest link in their eyes? It's going to be Vanya, right? The one who has the history of being abandoned. So they can keep poking at that fact of like, well, did they really have your back, you know, back in the day? Like, here, you can be part of our team. Here, you can be someone with a voice. And like, keep prodding that point. So that's my prediction for the rest of the season, that somehow, some way, the one that may defect is either Vanya. But how comments I've been seeing online about how everyone hates Allison, I feel like it might be Allison. But I don't know what's happening, but like, I've heard a rumor. Like, I've seen comments where it's just like, Allison hate galore. So I'm assuming Allison does something, because everyone's like, how dare she? And I'm like, let me not read any further so I don't get spoiled.
Without spoiling it, I feel like a lot of the characters between these three seasons have gone through, I don't even know what to call it really, like a good arc and a bad arc.
Okay.
This is me if I had the worst possible outcome. But this is me if I had the best possible outcome. And you'll see that as you keep watching. So in that sense, it is very interesting. But yes, I do agree. Allison's character was done so dirty in this season. And it's not even a joke. Some of the parts that you'll watch throughout the season, you'll just be like, where is this train of thought? Why are you doing this? This is too much. So I'll just stop talking from here. But yes, I totally get that point.
Now, from what you thought was going to happen next in the next episode, because I haven't seen it yet, was it accurate? What you thought was going to happen in like the next episode after you see Marcus is gone, what were you like, okay, this is going to have to happen in the next episode? Because I thought the immediate thing that was going to happen was Ben was going to step up to be number one, you know, like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm taking the role. And then he was going to blame the Umbrella Academy for Marcus being missing to create that divide. Because he doesn't know where Marcus is. He doesn't know what's going on. But the last time he saw Marcus was with Vanya. So
right.
I think he's going to use that knowledge to have them be more at odds. And it helps him because he can now be like the leader.
Exactly. And that is also where my mind went. Because there's already tension between these two teams. They already established, the Sparrows have mm-hmm. already established that the Umbrellas are not good for their image. People are going to soon catch on and they're going to take them less seriously if they see that there are people that are of equal power, equal mm-hmm. status to them. So that already creates that divide and that tension. So now that one of their members is missing, let alone their leader of all people, there has to be someone to blame. And guess what? It's the people that just teleported into your living room.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an easy blame too.
Mm-hmm.
Why look more into it? And then he gets what he wants. He can have the team focus on one thing and one thing only while he leads the charge. And he can be all upset about it, but he probably will enjoy this newfound position and authority that he gets. Have you noticed, though, with the Sparrow Academy, I noticed that the father, Reginald, is not much of the leader as he was. You know, he seemed to be more in charge when he was with the Umbrella Academy. And yes. To hear in the Sparrow Academy, he seems to be an afterthought. It seems to be like the actual Sparrow Academy people are running it. You know what I mean? Like,
they
kind of see him as an afterthought. They're like, you know, we already know the routine. We already know the job. So I find that interesting with the dynamic between them two.
Right. And to kind of draw off of what you were saying, their parents, for the Sparrows, their parents are kind of like an afterthought. Even with Grace, they literally call her the robot. And that's something that really bothered me, because here you saw her bringing cookies and just, oh, here you go, guys. And they're like, oh, the robot? And I'm just like, this is mad disrespectful. And they kind of have that same very cold, nonchalant disposition towards Reggie as well. And I'm just like, wow, the tables have turned. But then you kind of start to feel sorry for him because they, well, okay, maybe not. But you kind of see like, wow, that's not how kids act towards their parents. I would have gotten a whooping.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we hope that you guys do check out season 3, episode 1. It's definitely an interesting episode that gives you lots of things to discuss, especially when it comes to the old and true characters of the Umbrella Academy versus the new guys of the Sparrow Academy. It has that whole Batman versus Superman debate kind of feel. And, you know, it really shows what a different environment can do to people's development and how these characters differ from having two different timelines and growing up two different ways. So we hope that you give your thoughts on episode 1 and comment on Instagram. You can follow us at Hear Our 2 Cents. So that's Hear_our2 cents. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter as well under the same name. I want to say thank you, Hannah, for stopping by and giving us your 2 cents on the Umbrella Academy.
It is always a pleasure. You know, I will be here every day for that.
Don't forget to follow us and subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on Spotify.
iHeartRadio.
Apple Music. I mean, the list goes on. There is a link in our bio on Instagram and Facebook as well. Give us a listen and share your 2 cents on season 3, episode 1 of the #1 trending show, The Umbrella Academy.
If there's anything else you'd like to hear Allie and Cammy discuss in future episodes, please give them your 2 cents. They love to hear from you.
Cammy, if we can, she's on vacation. I'm also going to drop in her thoughts on The Umbrella Academy if she's available. If not, then it'll be just the discussion with me and Hannah here. So we hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to share your 2 cents.